reached that same black Suburban he'd already seen twice since their arrival in Jackson Hole, now parked next to the picnic tables. Maybe his sixth sense hadn't led him astray after all. Chapter 21. Maybe their relationship had just been too much and too fast before. Why had she asked so much when he clearly couldn't give? I can be good with it, Austin, because you don't owe me an explanation. You never did. We should keep our focus on finding Jamie. I haven't been completely honest with you. Willow sucked in a breath to tell him she'd already known where he'd grown up, because when he hadn't wanted to talk about it, she'd done her own digging. He wouldn't be happy, but maybe he already suspected. After all, if JT had called him because of his connection to this town, then JT had known. Was it so wrong that she'd wanted to know more about Austin when he hadn't been forthcoming? People hired investigators to do that sort of thing, didn't they? All the online dating sites and identity theft. It was hard to trust someone completely. A relationship that wasn't built on trust didn't have a strong foundation. She and Austin had been a dysfunctional couple from the start. His unwillingness to talk about his deepest, darkest secrets, or even his family, and her going behind his back to find out about his family. Their relationship had crumbled before either of them had invested much more than their hearts. Still, that had been enough to be devastating. Willow opened her mouth to tell him she'd already known, but Austin slowly rose from the table. His gaze grew pensive. Searching. "What's the matter?" she asked. "I think we've been in one place too long." "You don't really think we were followed here, do you?"
"I can't be sure. But if we were, that would tell us something, wouldn't it?"
She slowly nodded. "It could tell us we're getting closer, but not necessarily."
And if they'd been followed, she was more than glad Austin had accompanied her. Austin's lips flattened. "Maybe we should return to the silversmith store and see if Hank's back."
"You think he forgot to call?"
She rose and brushed off her slacks. "Or the cashier forgot to tell him."
"That reminds me." He dug in his pocket and pulled out the necklace. It dangled from his fingers. 100 questions flashed through her mind, but she was speechless as he walked around behind her, lifted the necklace over her head, and clasped it at the base of her neck. His warm breath made her skin tingle. Then he came around to stand in front of her. After a quick glance in her eyes, what was he hoping to see there? His gaze swept down to the necklace.
"Looks good on you."
She pressed her fingers against the pendant. "What are you doing? Why did you buy this?"
"Not for me."
"It can't be for me."
"Don't look so panicked. There's a method to my madness. I saw you admiring it. I thought making a purchase might encourage the cashier to follow through."
"I don't know if I can accept it."
Hurt flashed in his eyes, but he quickly shuttered them. "Well, I'm not taking it back. Give it away if you want, but we should get out of here."
Unshed tears swelled in her throat, along with a hefty dose of anger. What was the matter with her? She grabbed his arm.
Thank you.
It was sweet of you.
He nodded, lines etching his features.
Willow eyed the cemetery just beyond the park. "Before we head out, I'd like to look at tombstones."
Austin scrunched his face. "What?"
"The cemetery?" She pointed.
"You didn't think I could pass that up, did you?"
He shrugged, but his eyes remained on the parking lot.
"I suppose it should be included in the tourist package."
Willow almost laughed at his words.
"I'm a genealogist. It's what I do. If we come up with another thread or even that elusive needle, I'll want to visit all the necessary places that offer public records, too. You know, the Historical Society and Courthouse, for starters.
I guess that makes sense.
Together, they strolled through the park toward the Grayback Cemetery. Austin walked close to her. When I was growing up, JT would take me to every cemetery in every town we visited. We were always on a quest. He thought we'd find something to answer our questions, and sometimes we did, but other times he said it was because every person buried had a story. Some stories were never told, never shared. Maybe it had been a kind of weird ode to the dead.
Follow the clues, Willow.
Her memories of him so vivid in her mind, she could hear his voice as if he stood right next to her. As if he'd come on this trip with her. His training definitely guided her. I miss you, JT. She shook off the melancholy. Austin kept close as they exited the park and neared the cemetery. Another couple stood next to a tombstone at the far corner. They placed fresh flowers next to it. Willow didn't want to disturb them and hoped they wouldn't think it strange. She didn't walk to a specific tombstone, but instead strolled between the gravesites, noting families and children and some headstones dating back to the 1800s. If JT had survived and made this trip to Wyoming, he would no doubt have come here too. That much she could be sure of. But the rest of this was utterly unpredictable. Instead of JT here with her now, Austin McCade, of all people, walked the cemetery with her. She turned. Austin had stopped a few yards behind her, his features disturbed. She backtracked, gently touched his arm, and glanced down at the tombstone. McCade tombstones lined the space. Logan McCade. He died 4 years ago. Next to him must be Austin's mother, Catherine McCade. Dead 20 years. Then grandparents, Wyatt and Elsie McCade. I'm sorry, Austin. It was insensitive of me. I didn't even...
It's okay.
But the turmoil in his gaze told her otherwise. Deep pain was etched on his face. More than she would expect to see from someone looking at family members long buried. And because of the look of regret, the myriad of dark emotions rippling over his features, she finally understood why he didn't want to talk about his life here. What had happened that still tormented him? At this moment, she had no idea what to say or do. Should she stay and comfort him? Though she didn't know where his anxiety stemmed from. It obviously went much deeper than the loss that came with death, and that alone was profound. She sensed Austin didn't want comfort from her.
I'll give you some space.
And kick myself repeatedly as I walk the cemetery. Though she strolled, she didn't read the tombstones. Her mind far from there, she didn't even truly see them. Even if she focused on them, tears blurred her vision. The pain in this life could overwhelm. She needed hope, something to hang on to.
God, help us find Jamie Mason. For Caitlin's sake, and for the girl if she is in danger, as well as for Austin and me, we need your help. We need something to grab on to in this.
She thought she was tougher than this, but maybe the turmoil of the last few days and weeks could strip even the strongest person, reducing them to rubble. A child screamed. Willow's heart jumped, her attention drawn to the park. The scream turned to laughter, calming Willow's nerves. She was much too edgy. A father swung his young child around. The sight warmed her heart. She definitely needed more heartwarming moments. Willow welcomed the interruption to her morbid thoughts. It helped her focus on why they were here. If she could figure this out, then she could end the danger and unite Caitlin with her daughter before it was too late for the woman to say her goodbyes. That's what mattered. Glancing over her shoulder, she checked on Austin. Brows wrinkled, he kept his attention on the park as he slowly made his way toward her. She strolled the rest of the cemetery. Might as well complete her walk, despite the fact that the only purpose it had served was to stir up unwanted memories for Austin. Likely those memories had hit him the moment they crossed into Wyoming airspace. Chapter 22. Austin hoped that by the time they solved this, if they did, he would have overcome his issues. They had hit him full on when he stared down at his father's tombstone. It had taken all his willpower to hold himself together and not fall to his knees in anguish. The man shouldn't have died. Austin had been there. He should have stopped the chain of events that led to the tragedy. Could he ever stop blaming himself? Though he was still chafing at seeing his father's grave, he kept his composure as he approached her. Willow crouched close to a tombstone and ran her hands over the epitaph and name. Benjamin Haas, 1910 to 1989. What was she thinking about? She was obviously distracted today. His fault. He'd been the one to distract her with his dark mood. She'd always been hypersensitive to his disposition. I had hoped that by coming here we'd run across something to help us. At least that's the way it always seemed to work for JT. He trained you well, Willow. We'll find something. Austin hoped for her sake, if nothing else. Willow couldn't seem to recognize or accept that she had JT's gift, his talent, in addition to all the experience and training he'd given her. Maybe by the time this was over, she would see it well enough. Her bright eyes lifted from the tombstone to peer up at him. Her long, shiny mane hung down just so. What a picture-perfect moment. For a genealogical magazine, that is. She rose and dusted off her pants. As they headed back to the Jeep, Austin scanned the area but no longer saw the suspicious vehicle. He almost felt silly, except there was nothing wrong with being overly cautious if it made the difference in a life. If only he'd believed that before his father had been killed. Without thinking, Austin took Willow's hand as they walked. She didn't resist, but Austin wasn't sure why he'd done it. Old habits die hard, maybe. It was sure looking that way when it came to Willow. But she was much more than an old habit to him. She obviously meant far more to him than he had a right to feel. Once they were in the car, they buckled their seatbelts, and Austin started the ignition. "What about your brother?" Willow asked. "What about him?" "If you haven't seen him in so long, then why not go there now? We're close to Greyback, aren't we?" He dropped his hands from the steering wheel. Thought about it. "What are you waiting for?" She peered at the mirror in the visor and pushed aside a few loose strands of hair. "People exit this earth, leaving issues behind. Death doesn't wait for us to resolve our regrets. You need to reconcile broken relationships." She was right. "Don't you think I know that?" "I'm sorry. I don't mean to intrude. It's none of my business. But Austin, I wasn't ready for JT to die. He was so full of life, and if I'd had an inkling that would happen, I would have done everything differently." He backed the Jeep out of the parking lot, still uncertain which direction he would head. "What would you have done differently?" "I would have been in town for one thing. I'd been traveling too much. I was too busy working, albeit in business with him, but I wasn't deliberate about spending quality time with him. I would have had breakfast with him, spent the day looking at photo albums, telling and showing him how much I loved him, and and I wouldn't have let him get on that bike that morning.
Her words impacted him, and he steered toward Grayback.
That's just it. We can't know when it's our time.
So we have to live every day as if it's our last. As if there's no tomorrow.
Are you doing that now? Are you living this day as if there's no tomorrow? Is this what you really want to be doing?
He wished he hadn't asked the questions, because deep down, if this were his last day on Earth, he'd want to be with Willow. He sure hoped she didn't ask him the same kind of questions. He didn't want to have to answer.
Yes, I want to be doing good in the world. Doing what God called me to do.
If that means helping a dying woman find her daughter so she can tell her that she loves her, then yes, I'm living to the fullest. But you're missing the point.
No, I didn't miss it.
You're trying to tell me I shouldn't let more time go by without talking to my brothers. Heath is here. Liam is a DEA agent. He works undercover a lot. I don't even know where he is.
Shame flooded him.
But you can start with Heath here and now.
Her voice was entirely too happy. That shouldn't grate against his nerves, but Willow acted as if she were solving his problems. It wasn't that simple.
You know what?
He steered into the Elkhorn convenience store parking lot. He wondered if Jackson Addy still owned and operated it. I need to call him first. I can't just show up without calling. It wouldn't be considerate.
That wasn't the whole of it. He couldn't face his brother. Talk to him for the first time with Willow looking on, especially since he'd gone to so much trouble to hide his past from her and lost her for it. At the time, they'd taken their relationship as far as they could. Willow couldn't go deeper with him, a man who kept too many secrets, she'd said. He regretted his inability to give her what she'd wanted. They'd spent a lifetime, he and his brothers, hiding their complete dysfunction as a family from the public eye. Another old habit he'd been unable to quit. He'd just kept on hiding.
While you're calling Heath, I should call Dana and then Caitlin to check in and give them an update.
I just wish I had something good to report. We need a break.
He understood all too well about needing a break.
That one clue, that one piece of information that could change everything.
He hoped this didn't turn out to be a dead end and huge disappointment. Austin got out of the Jeep, leaned against it, and got out his cell phone.
I'm going inside to get us something to drink, Willow said.
He nodded and watched the passing cars on the two-lane road between Jackson and Grayback, near the Grovant Range, still part of Bridger-Teton National Forest.
Funny that he'd come this far but hadn't made it the whole way. Not yet.
He might go in and say hello if Jax or Addy was there, depending on how his phone call to Heath went. In the meantime, he watched the door to the store, guarding it from a distance. He stared at his phone. Now he'd come to the moment he'd successfully avoided since Heath had contacted Emma, asking for Austin's number. He was obviously waiting for Austin to make the next move. Ridiculous.
I'm not ready, Lord. I'm just not ready.
Too much time had already gone by. How much more time would he let go by before seeing his brothers, or at least one of them? They were the only family he had. Would it take another death, and this time the death of one of his brothers? He missed them. Growing up, they'd been close and leaned on each other through the struggles with their alcoholic father. Their father's brutality had forced them to toughen up in order to survive. And as soon as they'd gotten the chance, they'd each found a way to escape and gone their separate ways. Heath had dreamed of joining the army, but he'd been protective of Austin, the youngest of the three.
and had waited until Austin had turned 18 and gone off to basic training himself. Heath hadn't wanted to leave Austin at home alone to bear the brunt of their father's wrath. Liam, a year and a half younger than Heath and older than Austin, had left as soon as he could. Another McCade to join the ranks of military servicemen. Heath had become a Green Beret, Austin an Air Force fighter pilot, and Liam had been Navy. Funny how long ago they couldn't wait for the chance to get away. Now Heath was back, his feet anchored deep in the soil of his birthplace, and Austin had come back too, drawn by some invisible force. Only Austin had no plans to stay. He'd returned once before since leaving home, and coming back had been the biggest mistake of his life. Somehow, Austin should have done something to prevent his father's death. He knew it. His brothers knew it too. They blamed him. How could they not? Guilt lingered in the recesses of his heart and mind, ready to rush forward and paralyze him. He hadn't wanted to look into Heath's eyes and see the disappointment, the blame there, like he'd seen on the day it happened, and again at the funeral. He couldn't bear to see that in his brother's eyes, so he hadn't come back. But if he stood here and thought about it too long and hard, he would never call Heath. If he'd learned anything while working with the Child Abduction Rapid Deployment Team, it was that every second of every minute counted. He could apply that to life in general. He'd already wasted too much time. He stared at the number, then mustered the courage and hit the call button. As he waited for the call to connect, a cloud moved over the sun, leaving him in the shadows. Crows gathered on a nearby electrical line, cawing. A bunny dashed across the field next to the Elkhorn. He glanced at the Elkhorn storefront. The posts, made out of knobby lodgepole pine, holding up the porch of the older-than-dirt store. Metal cowboy and Western life silhouettes graced the storefront. Willow still hadn't returned. Maybe he should check on her, then call Heath back. "Hello?" Heath answered. Austin's heart surged to his throat. "Hello? Austin, that you?" "It's me," he said. He had to find his voice, the words he planned to say, except he didn't have any. "I'm glad you finally called me back. Glad it wasn't an emergency or that I needed to get a hold of you." Heath had an edge to his voice. Here we go again. Of course Heath would have to jab at him about taking so long. Laying into him like he was a child, the black sheep of the family. He cringed inside, sagging against the vehicle. Heath sounded so much like Dad. It took Austin back to a place he didn't want to go. He almost wished he hadn't called. "Sorry. There's been a lot that's happened. Listen." Heath blew out a breath. Austin could picture him pinching his nose, reconsidering his words. "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump down your throat. I know I sounded just like him, didn't I?" Heath released an incredulous laugh. Austin didn't know what to say. He paced the cracked parking lot long in need of repair, kicked around a few pebbles. "I swore I'd never be like him," Heath finally said. "But all that aside, how are you, little brother?" Now there was the Heath that Austin remembered and loved. Relief swelled inside. "I'm here in Wyoming. Stopped at the Elkhorn store." Now it was Heath's turn to be speechless. Austin offered a chuckle to dispel the awkward moment. "Surprise, surprise." Heath sputtered a laugh. "Surprise indeed. So what's keeping you away? Come on home." "Home?" Austin didn't want to think of it as home. The house and ranch belonged to Heath. Dad had left his oldest son everything, as if he'd lived in the Dark Ages. I have a matter to take care of first, then I'll stop by. I'm not keeping you from anything, am I?
Nothing that can't wait until later. Are you in Wyoming on business?
Austin squinted up at the sky, then glanced once again at the store.
You could say that.
He walked to the end of the vehicle. On the other side of the Elkhorn sat that same SUV he'd seen at the park and twice before. Chapter 23 Willow leaned against the side of the old log cabin convenience store and spoke to Dana.
How's the age progression going?
We should see something in a day or two.
The age progression photographs that were created early on and put on milk cartons depict her favoring her mother, though you can still see her resemblance to her father, Cliff.
Can you send me a picture of both Cliff and Caitlin in their 20s?
Sure, I'll text it to you. Do you want me to call her and ask about any relatives in Wyoming?
Might as well. I'm going with Austin to meet his brother. Why don't you try to see if you can get a hold of her now?
Meet his brother?
What on earth for?
Austin grew up here, and since he's this close, he wants to see his brother. I'm tagging along.
Is that okay with you?
She didn't want to get into it with Dana. As much as she adored the woman, Willow wished she would let her animosity go.
I was going to add that you're there on business. He can see his family while you work, but my words will fall on deaf ears, won't they?
Though Dana's words were true, they grated. Still, she forced a chuckle.
I didn't hear anything you said.
From here, she could still see the top portion of Grand Teton. How could anyone not be inspired?
Willow took a calming breath.
At least we're here, following this thread that JT would have followed had he lived. I have to believe I'll find what he would have found.
Willow had no doubt JT would have found something. The question remained, would she, even with Austin's help?
She ended the call just as Austin appeared around the corner of the building, his demeanor burdened with what could only be described as fury. He strode toward her.
Willow, where have you been?
Right here. His shoulders slumped.
When you didn't come out of the store, I got worried. Why didn't you come back to the Jeep?
I wanted to give you some privacy while you were talking to your brother. Besides, she averted her eyes. I couldn't focus on my conversation with Dana if I was close enough to hear yours. I would have been listening to you instead of Dana. I can't help myself. Sorry.
An SUV pulled out of the parking lot from the other side of the store and headed down the road. Austin watched it with great interest.
What's going on?
She asked. I think that SUV's been following us. I've seen it too many times, and now here it is again. I memorized the license plate. I'll call Emma to run it for me, but this time it had to have been parked in the back before we arrived. Unless I missed it pulling in, which I doubt.
His frown deepened.
I should have been more cautious.
Willow had started to relax, if only a little, believing she was safe in Wyoming, far from the happenings in Seattle.
I'm thirsty. I meant to get us drinks. Can we get something before we head to your brother's ranch?
We are going, aren't we?
She waited for his reaction.
Brows furrowed. He nodded.
Sure. Let's get a soda. It's still a few miles to the ranch.
Inside the Elkhorn, Willow got a bottled water instead of soda.
Austin paid for his soda and her water. A tall, lanky man, well over 70, took his money with a shaky hand.
We got the best well water in the state, right here in these parts.
Willow nodded.
That's good.
She wasn't sure what he wanted her to do with the information.
I need my water to go, though.
He narrowed his eyes, angled his head to study Austin.
You wouldn't happen to be the youngest McCade brother, would you?
Austin grinned. That would be me. How are you doing, Jax?
Well, I'll be. I thought that was you. It's good to see you back.
Jax scratched his head. It's Austin. My brother Heath runs the ranch.
Austin, he snapped his fingers. My memory ain't so good. And who's this pretty young miss? Your wife?
Heat suffused her cheeks. Of course the guy would think that.
Oh, no, nothing like that. We're here on business together.
She reached over the counter and shook his hand. I'm Willow Anderson. The man grinned, revealing crooked and stained teeth, which told his age and of a life well lived.
Well, you could have fooled me, but I suppose I've said enough and had better keep my mouth shut. Tell that brother of yours I said hello. The other one, too. Liam. Yeah, that's the one. Haven't seen him in years.
Neither have I. Austin took a swig of his soda. That guy who drives that black SUV that just pulled out of here. Who is he? The man rubbed a hand over his balding head, pressing the few silver wisps of hair flat again.
That'd be Silas Everett. He's the Hoback County Sheriff next county over. This state has too many sheriffs and their deputies, if you ask me. We don't have that much crime to begin with, and they never seem to be around when you need them anyway.
Huh? What's he doing here in Bridger County?
He comes here, sits back there in his SUV behind the store to drink a beer after seeing his wife, Ellie. He divorced her years ago. I hear tell the daughter got involved with drugs. Ellie's raising the grandkids now.
He shook his head.
He comes to see them every so often, then stops here, like I said, to catch his breath, then heads back. Sad situation all around.
This guy was a wealth of information, albeit some of it gossip. Maybe Willow could get him talking, and she'd learn something useful. He'd certainly lived here long enough and was willing to come forth with secrets. At least other people's secrets.
Thanks, Jax. We're headed out to see Heath now, so I'll be sure to tell him you said hello.
Willow started to object. She wanted to stay and talk to the man, but Austin gently took her arm and ushered her from the store.
I don't think he's going to believe we're here on business the way you felt comfortable enough to haul me out of there.
She tossed him a grin, hoping he'd know she was only teasing. But there was truth in the jest. He grunted in response as he made his way around the Jeep. They got in and buckled again.
See, you worry for nothing. The man you thought had followed us was only a sheriff, and that's his pattern. We just happened to cross his path several times today. It's a small region in a sparsely populated state.
I'll still keep an eye out for his vehicle just the same.
Austin drove down the road, heading away from the Teton Range.
You never said how your call with Heath went.
No, I didn't.
He watched an approaching fork in the road as if he was unsure about where to turn, then hesitantly took the right fork.
evergreens grew thick among the hills, and last year's snow, glaciers probably, remained on the mountains over the rise. A pristine lake on the left reflected the crystal sky. A sign announced their entrance into the Grosvenant wilderness. Another sign, this one a yellow diamond, depicted 6 different kinds of animals. They passed the sign too fast, so she only had time to recognize half of them. Did that sign have a bear on it and moose and elk? What else?
Probably antelope. I wasn't paying attention.
Bears cross the road?
Not just any bears. Grizzlies. Watch out the window. You might get lucky and see one through the trees, rooting for berries. You don't want to see one up close and personal, though. That could be deadly. As for moose and elk crossing the roads, my brother hit a moose once. He was only 16, had just gotten his license.
And the moose, did it survive?
No idea. It disappeared into the woods. They're huge, you know. But Heath totaled his truck.
Are you going to tell me how the call went or not?
Better than expected. But grizzly bears, they're dangerous. Keep your distance. Understood?
Understood.
She understood him all right. He was redirecting the conversation. Didn't want to talk more about Heath.
She definitely should have kept her distance. If only she didn't need Austin in this with her. There was risk in spending too much time with him. Her heart could fall under his spell, only to be broken. Again. She should be smart enough, after having her heart broken once, not to go right back to the same man.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to push you about the phone call to Heath. No need to apologize. I'm the one who should be sorry. I'm anxious, that's all. The call with Heath went fine. He's looking forward to seeing me, and no, I didn't tell him you're coming.
I assume he doesn't even know who I am or that you dated me.
I try to keep pleasure and family separate. So that kind of makes this all the more awkward.
How she understood. She'd wanted to unload her secret, the burden she'd carried for much too long. Maybe she could get things out in the open before they got to the ranch. Seeing Heath again would be like a new start for Austin, she hoped. She wanted to have a fresh start too, in a manner of speaking. Austin jerked the jeep to the left. Into the trees. Willow let a yelp escape. Then she realized he'd turned onto a Forest Service road hidden by thick pines, invisible from the paved road. As the road grew rougher, the jeep bounced, climbing over rocks and boulders. No wonder he'd insisted on a 4-wheel drive vehicle. She should have expected this. She equated it to the worst turbulence she'd experienced while flying. You do remember how to get there, don't you? Great. Had she really said that out loud? When he said nothing in response, she softened her tone. Is this the driveway?
Not yet.
She couldn't tell if the tension rolling off him was because of what she'd said or if he was nervous about seeing his brother. A deep ravine came into view to her left, and her heart stuttered. She had to look away. Is this even a road anymore?
The ranch is out of the way. Makes it hard for fire trucks to get here when something burns.
He spoke of his mother. And hard for someone to come to your aid when you have an abusive father.
She kept those words to herself. She'd already said too much. Hold on. It gets bumpier.
What?
Or we could hike in the rest of the way, but that could take us 2 hours.
I didn't dress for a 2-hour hike, sorry.
Willow held on to the grips with both hands, squeezing them tight.
She almost wished she had asked him to drop her off at the courthouse so she could search records, see if she could find a connection between Caitlin Mason and Wyoming from archives that couldn't be found online. The views are stunning once you get to the ranch. It'll be worth it. He turned the Jeep off the road and drove under a large pine arch with the words Emerald M Ranch burned into it. She was running out of time if she wanted to tell him before they got there. I need to tell you something. I don't know how to say it now without making this more awkward, but I want to move forward. Please forgive me.
Just say it, Willow. We're almost there. I promise I won't be mad.
Okay, here goes. When we dated before, you didn't want to talk about your family or where you grew up, your home, everything that's important to me and why people often hired my grandfather, to find out where they came from, their inheritance.
Willow, please.
Austin yanked the steering wheel left. Right. She was procrastinating. I know it was wrong to do this, and again, I'm sorry. I looked into your past myself. I knew you were from Grayback and grew up on this ranch. Waiting for his reaction, she held her breath. His jaw worked.
I figured as much.
But in my own defense, people hire private investigators these days before they go too far, you know? I didn't hire anyone. I'm not saying that.
No need to beat yourself up. What was between us is long over. You're forgiven and it's forgotten. I couldn't give you what you needed and you didn't trust me.
Willow's throat grew tight. The controlled hostility edging his tone seemed to say that nothing was forgiven or forgotten, and that he still cared for her. The Jeep leveled out some as he turned onto an actual driveway. The tires crunched over the gravel, and a larger-than-life two-story rustic log cabin with a wraparound porch came into view. On the other side of the cabin, a peaceful lake. Austin's knuckles tightened on the steering wheel. She shouldn't have brought up any of that now. Why did she stink at timing? He parked the Jeep, then shifted to look at her. At least I still have a few secrets from you.
Chapter 24. Thursday, 4:05 p.m., Emerald M Ranch.
Could he have been more of a jerk? Austin wished he'd included some warmth with his cold statement to soften the blow, but he hadn't been able to muster that even for Willow. To her credit, she was the one to offer a smile, and she seemed to understand that being this close to his family and his past made him all kinds of crazy.
Should we get out?
I assume that's your brother standing on the porch waiting.
Yeah, we should.
He sent her an apologetic look.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that about my secrets.
So, you still have secrets from me, huh?
Willow's teasing tone couldn't hide her curiosity as she opened the door and got out. He did the same. Breathed in the fresh mountain air, the feral beauty of this remote ranch so near the wilderness area. The memories sucked him right back. But he didn't want to go there. He wanted to make new ones. Apparently Heath was trying to do the same. Everything looked different now. As he hiked toward his brother, he worked to calm his nerves. Admired the old cabin, which had been transformed with a bigger porch and new logs. Had Heath also renovated the inside? Much too soon, he clomped up the wraparound porch steps and faced his brother. Willow crept up behind him. An old tan-colored cur dog thrust his head under Austin's hand.
Hey there, Timber.
His smile as big as the sky, Heath immediately thrust out his hand.
It's good to see you.
Austin took it, and Heath yanked him into a brotherly hug. His brother held him so hard he could swear a bear had gotten hold of him. Why had he stayed away so long? When Heath released him, he studied Austin long and hard, his blue eyes wells of emotions like their mother's. Then his attention slid to Willow.
And this would be...
He stepped forward and gently took the hand Willow offered, cupping it in his much larger ones. Willow Anderson, she said. I hired Austin to help me on a case.
Oh, Heath's eyes snapped to Austin, then back to her. Case?
A small laugh escaped. I'm a forensic genealogist.
A what?
Heath's grin was infectious. It might take a while to explain.
Well, come on inside, and you can tell me all about it.
To Austin, he said,
this was and is your home, too. You're free to come and go as you please. How long are you staying?
Heath led them through the door into the house as he talked. When Austin stepped inside, he hardly recognized the place.
Initially, we were only going to be here for a night, but we might need to stay longer.
Another day or two might be necessary.
We have rooms booked in Jackson.
Rooms in Jackson?
You could have stayed here. Can't say I'm not hurt you didn't think of that first, but I'll get over it.
Heath grinned.
If you're here on business, then I understand why you didn't. Getting to the ranch isn't an easy haul.
And we are here on business. Austin wanted to make that clear. For his sake, if not for Willow's. The aroma of pot roast hung in the air. His stomach rumbled.
Everything looks different.
And you've turned it into a guest ranch. Heath chuckled.
Yep. We give families and groups for retreats. Lots of photographers because there's easy access to the wilderness. Business is good. I added cabins and just recently built two more.
I want to keep it small, though, so people can feel like they have their own private wilderness retreat. Willow strolled the great room looking at photographs. She touched an old saddle and glanced at Austin. Heath grinned.
That's Pop's old saddle. Dad's is up on the banister. You die, your saddle will get to come inside the house, too.
Austin laughed. Was his old saddle still in the barn?
You've really transformed this place. I can hardly believe it.
How had Heath moved past their experiences growing up in this house?
I've worked day and night to renovate the place.
Heath led them to the kitchen.
There's a roast cooking in the crock pot.
Smells good, Willow said. We don't want to interrupt if you have work to do.
I'm usually hands-on with guests most days. Everyone left this morning with our 10 guests to head up to the backcountry camp in the wilderness area. They'll be there for 2 nights. I'm staying here this time. Good thing, too, or I would have missed your call. It'll be supper time soon. You'll join me, won't you?
How could they refuse? Austin looked to Willow for that answer. Her warm and friendly smile said it all.
We'd love to. I'm a little leery of your pot roast. I don't remember you being any good at cooking.
Heath's laugh made Austin smile. Relaxed him. Coming here had been the right thing to do. He had the urge to take Willow's hand and squeeze it. She'd encouraged him to come to the ranch when he'd wavered.
I guess you'll just have to take a chance.
Heath opened the crock pot and poked around inside.
I think it's about done. I didn't eat lunch and I'm hungry. Mind if we eat a little early? Of course not.
Austin said. Is there anything I can do to help? Willow walked around the counter. I'd be happy to set the table.
Thank you, but no.
I want you to make yourselves at home. You're my guests here. Have a seat at the table. Be warned, it won't be anything fancy.
Austin studied his brother as he prepared the roast and arranged potatoes and carrots on a platter, gathered the dishes and glasses and offered them drinks. Who was this guy, anyway? Sure, Austin had looked up to him growing up. Heath had protected Austin any number of times against their father's brutality. Then he'd gone into the army and become a Green Beret. De oppresso liber. The Green Beret motto that meant to free the oppressed. That totally fit Heath, who'd protected Austin. Now he'd turned into a businessman, somehow freeing their dilapidated old ranch house and property from the shackles of the past and turning it into a vibrant money-making ranch. Heath had renovated himself along with the house. The table set. Heath took a seat and joined Willow and Austin. Now, let's say grace. He bowed his head, and heartfelt words of thanks escaped his lips. Amen. With the food shared and plated, Austin slowly lifted the first forkful to his mouth. It smelled good enough. Both Heath and Willow looked on, waiting for his reaction. He took a bite and chewed, nodded his approval. It'll pass.
Oh, come on, Willow said. I'm sure it's as wonderful as it smells.
She took a bite and smiled. When she finished chewing, she said, My compliments to the chef.
It's elk.
Willow's eyes widened, and she stopped chewing. Austin burst out laughing.
It's good, bro.
She appeared to accept that she'd just eaten elk, angling her head.
I've learned a few skills over the years, Heath said around a mouthful of roast. Some that would even surprise my brothers. But I must confess, I didn't make the roast. I hired a woman I've adopted as my grandmother, Evelyn Miller. She takes care of things here in the house. Cooks and cleans and helps prepare meals for the guests, too. I pay her, plus she has her own room in the house. I'd introduce you, but her back's been bothering her. Her son's in town to take her to the doctor, then downstate to visit family. She'll be back tomorrow. That's why I stayed behind today.
When was the last time you talked to Liam?
That question might have been the wrong one. Heath pushed his plate away and frowned.
I called him and left a message the same day I called you. Haven't heard back. I know he works undercover. He'll call when he comes up for air. Maybe he'll surprise me like you did and just show up in town.
Austin nodded his understanding. He cast the ridiculous image of a happy reunion for all three of them together here at the ranch out of his mind, and steered the conversation to the Emerald M Ranch.
Tell me what all you've done. Why don't I show you? In fact,
Heath hesitated, then directed his next words at Willow.
I have a proposition. Granted, you're here on business, but why not stay here at the house?
No, I couldn't. That would be too much trouble. Willow eyed Austin, pleading for help. Admittedly, that might be too much for Austin, too. He needed to catch his breath before he stayed here in the home where he grew up. Though Austin said nothing, Heath appeared to understand his hesitation.
All right, then. How about this? I have a couple of cabins available. They're newly built and not rented out until next week. You could stay there if you don't want to stay here in the house.
Oh,
We couldn't put you out like that, Willow said. Besides, we'd have to pay for our room anyway since we'd be canceling so late.
It's no trouble at all. Where are you staying?
Cowboy Village.
I know the owner personally and can have a word with her so you'll get off without a hitch. They'll have that room rented within the hour this time of year. Just give me the word.
Austin gauged Willow's reaction. Was Heath putting too much pressure on her? Did she want to stay? Behind her long, dark lashes, her hazel eyes held the same question for Austin. He slowly nodded, answering for her.
Okay, but I insist on paying the going rate for renting your cabins.
Of course, he had to offer, even knowing Heath would refuse.
Absolutely not.
Throughout the rest of their conversation, Austin watched Willow as much as he watched Heath. She glanced between Heath and himself as they ate, admiration shining in her eyes for his brother. A sliver of jealousy found its way into Austin's heart, but not because of Willow. Heath had obviously dealt with the troubles of their past, while Austin still struggled. How had he let go and moved on?
Chapter 25. Thursday, 6:09 p.m., Hoback County.
Charlie was on a mission. Oh, come on, Bronk. The clunker's shocks protested as she steered down the bumpy logging road through the thick pine forest, crossing over the Bridger County line into Hoback County. Another risky move on her part. But she needed to search the old ranch house she'd shared with Mama. The house had been sitting empty for 2 months since Mama was murdered in cold blood right in front of her. If she hurried, she might still be able to get to the house and search for answers before it got too dark. Not like she hadn't tried before, but she had to be careful. Couldn't stay too long or let anyone see her coming or going. He could still be watching and waiting for her. The man who killed Mama wanted to kill Charlie, too. Why? She didn't know. She wanted to find out, but on her own terms, not begging for mercy at the wrong end of a gun. She was determined to find out and hope to come out on top and alive once she did. She turned onto a 2-lane road and headed in the opposite direction of the cabin where she'd hidden in the mountains. She'd lost track of time when she'd stayed too long training the horses at the ranch. A good, solid job at which nobody had to see her. She'd been riding Amber and gotten lost in her dreams of a life she wanted to live. The job, which her friend Mac had given her, wasn't about the money, but about the freedom to live out in the open and be herself without the fear that someone would find and kill her. That's why she was on a mission. She suspected she knew the killer, but she had to prove it. There were only so many hours in the day. She needed to get back into the house and search again. The bills hadn't been paid, so the electricity would be turned off by now. Who knew what manner of vermin had taken up residence in an empty house sitting in a field in the wilds of Wyoming? Mama had made Charlie a co-owner before she died, and looking back at that now, Charlie had to wonder if Mama hadn't had some kind of premonition. Squeezing the steering wheel, she accelerated, causing the Bronc's loud muffler to rumble. For a moment, she imagined what the truck had looked like in its glory days, when some high school motorhead had owned it. She'd gotten it dirt cheap after selling both her and Mama's cars, so she would have something to fall back on until this was over. Then she could get back to her regularly scheduled programming, which meant going back to the University of Wyoming and finishing her last year. But honestly, that was the last thing on her mind. Grief and fear crippled her, while at the same time empowering her to see her plan through. With a killer still out there and her life at risk, she laid low but stayed close. The house would be just over the next hill. She accelerated.